This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
There's a whole lot going on, which we're glad for. That's what happens when you're a thriving young church plant. Appreciate everybody's contribution. And we don't want to just be a busy church. We want to be an effective church. And so today we're going to talk about how we can be effective with our faith. And to do so, we've got to kind of go back to the beginning. It would be kind of cruel and not very practical of me to say, hey, I want you to go out there and have daring faith if we don't understand where that faith began. We're going to go back to the roots today and know what the win is for us as a church. And I just want to tell you that daring faith is only possible because of an empty tomb. That's the only reason daring faith is possible. Now, I'm going to have to give second service some instruction. See, this isn't a monologue. This is a conversation. So I would welcome you to talk back to me, as long as you're nice, all right? I want to hear you today. I said our faith begins when the empty tomb was broken open and we discover that Jesus was gone. That's where our faith belongs, right? In an empty tomb today. That's where true faith lies. And we're going to read that story in John chapter 20. I'm going to start there in verse 1. It says, on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran to Simon Peter and to Jesus' favorite disciple. Guess who that was? Guess who wrote the book that we're reading from right now? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. just a little self-promotion there. And said, they have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him. So Peter and that other disciple started for the tomb, and they ran side by side until the other disciple ran faster than Peter and got there first. Any male competition in this story yet? Can you pick it out? Kind of thinking so. He bent over, saw the strips of linen cloth lying beside the tomb, and did not go in. When Simon Peter got there, he went into the tomb and saw the strips of cloth. He also saw the piece of cloth that had been used to cover Jesus' face. It was rolled up and in a place by itself. Interesting side note. If grave robbers had stolen Jesus' body, would they have bothered to take the time to take the face cloth and neatly roll it up and lay it politely beside? No, they would not have. So another example that Jesus was a gentleman even in the resurrection, right? Proving that he is who he says he is. The disciple who got there first then went into the tomb and saw it, and he believed. There's a big exclamation, underline point there. He believed. That's what we're talking about today. At that time, Peter and the other disciple did not know that the scripture said Jesus would rise to life, despite the fact that didn't Jesus already tell them multiple times, this is what's got to happen. The Son of Man's got to be crucified and die, and on the third day, he will rise again. Does that sound familiar? So why didn't the disciples yet believe that? They didn't know. Oh, come on. Now, they had been told, but there's a difference between being told something and believing it, right? You can know a lot of stuff, but do you really believe it? So we're going to talk about today what believing looks like, what difference it makes in the life of a person. If you want to grab your notes in your worship guide, write a few things down today. Jesus said in John 6:29, this is what God wants you to do. How many of you have ever asked that question? I just want to know what God wants me to do. Pastor, what is it that God wants me to do? It's driving me crazy. Well, I got your answer right here. John 6:29. Believe in the one he has sent. There you go. That's what God wants you to do with your life. Believe in the one that he sent. Who is the one? Jesus is always the answer, no matter what the question. Just so you know that, give you a little heads up on the quiz. The answer is always Jesus. So God says, believe in the one I sent. Who is it? Jesus is the one he sent, the one who rose from the dead, the one who our faith is anchored to because of that empty tomb. And today we're going to answer a couple of questions. You know, believers, that word believe is used over 250 times in the New Testament. So much importance linked to that, that people who follow Jesus are called what? Believers. There you go. So it's pretty important, this concept, that we get it right. So two questions about believing today. Number one, what are the benefits of believing in Jesus? And what does it mean to believe in him? Four benefits to begin with. Believing in Jesus. Write these down. Number one, believing in Jesus means everything I've ever done, every wrong I've ever committed is forgiven in him. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. It's as big as the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. Hard for me to understand, but as a believer, the truth is every wrong I've ever done, every wrong I will ever do, was forgiven at the cross to those who believe, right? As a believer, every wrong I've ever done, every wrong I will ever do is forgiven in Jesus. That's ridiculously amazing news. How did God know? What was his guarantee that we wouldn't continue to sin? There was none. In fact, he knew that we would, which is why Jesus had to come. If Jesus weren't necessary, wouldn't that be a colossal waste? The life of the sinless Son of God, come on. If anything else would have done, wouldn't God, as a good economist, would have paid another price for us? If a goat, right, would have handled it? That's what they did in the Old Testament, but see, you're worth far more to him than a goat. In fact, you are worth the lifeblood of the sinless Son of God. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Repeat after me, I am worth the lifeblood of the sinless Son of God. Now, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. Your value was not created, it was confirmed by the cross. That's how valuable you are to him. And that's why Jesus had to come, because of the Father's love for you, in great hopes that you would believe on the one that he sent. Everything I've ever done, forgiven because of Jesus. Acts 10:43 backs me up. All who believe in Jesus will be forgiven of their sins through Jesus' name. Sounds like that's a true statement. How about Romans 3:22? We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sin. And we all can be saved in this way, no matter who we are or what we've done. Do you take some comfort in that statement? No matter who we are or what we've done. Who does that include in this room here today? No matter who we are or what we've done. See, there's no exclusions. I love the scripture says that Jesus was tempted in every manner that we are, yet without sin. So what that tells me is nothing that I do or am tempted by freaks him out. He was exposed to that. He experienced some of that, but without sin. He understands our weakness. That's why it's so cool and mind-blowing that he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was subject to the same temptations we are, but did not yield. The perfect man. And because of his sacrifice for us, there's hope for us who believe. Number two, the second benefit of being a believer is I learned God's purpose for my life. Without knowing that purpose, see, we just drift around. We're like shooting darts, you know, in the dark. We don't know what we're hitting. We hope we're going to hit something good, but we don't know. But God, as creator, how many of you know we didn't create ourselves? We were created by a loving God who, the scripture says, knew our days even before one of them came to be, who has our story written in his book. We get to participate in the story of God. How awesome is that? Everything that he's created us to be, that's the purpose. Colossians 1:16. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in Christ and finds its purpose in him. That's why so many are confused about their identity, because we're looking in the wrong place. Man, we can look a million places to find our identity. We can look, you know, at Hollywood, or we can look, you know, at Wall Street. We can look in our garage. We can look at our bank account. We can look at how many people are afraid of us, you know. Those are the kinds of things we do to create an identity for ourselves. And your identity, your true self, created by God, is only found when you yield to his design, his divine destiny. That's what was cool about praying for Jackson and Oliver today. Isn't it awesome? They get to start from a platform where they'll know who they are in Jesus, that they are believed in, you know, that we believe in who God created them to be. How much better would our lives have been if we had started that way? Come on now. Instead, we wonder, we doubt. Sometimes you don't even get affirmation at home. That's why our passion is to help moms and dads raise sons and daughters who know who they are and whose they are. And we back it up as a church family. That's pretty good. Only by knowing your creator do you know your purpose. The third benefit of believing is you get God's strength for daily living. God's strength. How many of you could say, I need a little more God's strength, right? We're all kind of susceptible to fatigue and just being worn out. I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking sometimes just life. You know, just like another day. I mean, yes, as a believer, you can be worn out and get fatigued with life. And yet, to those who believe, God promises his strength. Isaiah 40, 29 says, God gives power to those who are tired and worn out. So if you're tired and worn out, this is a great promise for you. God's strength is available to you. He offers strength to the weak. I'll get in that line, right? I find myself in a place where I just know I can't do it on my own. I try and I try, but I don't have the strength. And God says, perfect, come to me. Come to me if you are weary, if you're weighed down, and I'll give you rest. See, that's the first four letters of our church name, right? Restoration. Rest doesn't mean you stop doing anything. Rest means you quit trying to strive to prove who you are, and you find your identity in him. Ephesians 1:19, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. See, we go back to the tomb again. Because the tomb is empty, his promise is true. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you who believe. How many believe in this room today? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead exists in you. Sometimes we don't feel like it, right? So we gotta go back to the book and remind ourselves what God said. Paul said it like this. Philippians 4:13, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. So think about what you're facing right now. What's sapping your strength? What's causing you to feel weak? Is it grief? Is it distress? Is it doubt? Confusion? Fear? Discouragement? See, all those things fall into the category of God's strength is able. And I can tell you what, you can list any weakness you want to, any dysfunction, any brokenness, and his strength is able, more than able, to take your situation and prove his resurrection life through it. John 11, Jesus said, I am the one who raises the dead and believes, gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish. That's the fourth benefit of believing. You have the promise of eternal life. See, this is a big deal. We think in culture, in life, this is all there is. I can't tell you how many funerals, man, I've preached and I've wished the dead person could get up and preach their own funeral. Because they understand that life isn't guaranteed tomorrow, right? I don't say that to scare you or to, you know, make you all panicky. I'm just saying it's the truth. I have done funerals from infants all the way to old age. And you know, all of us think that this is just going to go on forever. Truth is, this life is temporary. We've got to live with eternity in mind. And for believers, the promise of eternal life is from Jesus' own lips. And if he hadn't risen from the dead, that verse is a joke, right? It's just a cruel joke, but it's not. The empty tomb proves it is true. John 3:16, of course, one of the most famous verses of all. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, what? Whosoever believes. That's the qualification. Not by what you've done, but just believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are amazing benefits that you can't find anywhere else that are only guaranteed and backed up because of the empty tomb. The living Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It's not some vague, yeah, well, I acknowledge there's some God. You know, I acknowledge that. Well, congratulations, even the devil believes that. He got his tail kicked at the cross, right? When the empty tomb opened up, I about said a curse word there. The devil was in big trouble. Demons believe in God. It says in James 2:19, do you still think it's just enough to believe that there is one God? Even the demons believe this and tremble in terror. It's not enough just to believe. See, we have all this information. We think we're so cool that we know better And you know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But it's not enough just to believe. What does believing look like? How does it act itself out? How does it work itself out in us? There's a lot of people in America today that would say they believe in God. But that's different than what we're talking about in our During Faith series. Believing in God creates an effect in you. You start to live differently. If we can, we can use the word trust as an example. Those who believe in him will trust in him. The Greek word for trust, pisteo, means literally that I will not just know about, but know intimately. I will know him intimately. I'm going to use that word trust to give you five attributes of those who believe in Jesus. I'm going to use that word, the letter T, standing for turning everything over to Jesus. If you trust him, if you're a believer and you say, listen, I'm not just, you know, talking the talk here. I'm not just saying some nebulous, yeah, I believe there's something. No, you say, I'm a believer. Here's what that's going to look like. Number one, you're going to turn everything over to Jesus. And I mean everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What that means is, that word Lord, that's a big word. That means you are now under new management, right? Old management's been booted out. You are under new management. Don't ever say, God is my co-pilot. Don't you hate that? That's scary talk right there. That means I'm in the pilot seat, and you don't even want that, all right? How about you get rid of the co-pilot seat and let God have the big chair and just call it good? You kick back in, coach, and let him bring you drinks. How about you do that? That's how you handle it. Let God be your pilot. You said you believe. You said you trust him. That means he gets everything. Sorry, it sounds like he thinks he's God. Well, he is. That's what the word Lord means. Some say he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. I'll let you leave it with that and decide for yourself. You turn everything over to God. T, letter R, you relax. You relax in his love. If you really are putting your all into him, it's the next T plunge, right? You're just falling back. And it doesn't sound godly enough. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't die so you could fret and worry and try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. So why do we do it? Why do I do it? Because I don't really trust. If I truly trust, I'm going to rest in his love. I don't have to earn it. God's unconditional love is unwavering. It doesn't change willy-nilly. It's unending. It'll never stop. Guess what? It doesn't depend on me being perfect either, performing perfectly every day, because I don't. I blow it. It's in those times I have to remember, it's not my righteousness, it's his. And I come to God with this strange R-letter word that we don't like to use, repent, right? I come and I repent. I acknowledge I've blown it. God says, yeah, I knew that. Just kind of waiting for you to come to me so I can take that from you because I died for that. But if you're going to live in the life that God gave you, repentance means not just being sorry, but turning around and going the other direction. So there's some action involved, right? So it's not about working out like you're earning your salvation, but it is about letting your actions back up what you say you believe. Does that make sense? God's unending love. Romans 8 says it like this. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, angels can't, demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell cannot keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, we could just stop there and just read that verse for the rest of the day and saturate and soak in that, and it would change our lives. Do you know, I believe this firmly, if we really understood how much God loves us, it would totally radically change how we live. It would change what we think about us. Because I don't know about you, but I have doubts oftentimes if God really loves me that much, because I know me. And it would also change the way I relate to other people. Because oftentimes my insecurity about not feeling loved causes me to kind of be a little warped in the way I treat others. Anybody else besides me? It's just kind of the way that works sometimes. It would change the way we live. Letter U in our acronym stands for using my life to serve God by serving others. I don't like to say we're saved to serve, but that's pretty close to the truth. Because if it was just about going to heaven, which is a great thing, eternity is a really good thing. I highly recommend it. Eternity in heaven. You would just be like, get saved, meet Jesus, give your heart to him, and boop, take the elevator up right then, right? But it didn't happen that way. Why are we still here? There must be a purpose. There must be something for us to do. We're not saved because we serve, but if you're saved, you will show it by serving others. I mean, I'll say something really, it could sound kind of harsh, but if you say you're a Christ follower but don't have a heart to serve others, I just don't see that as biblical faith. You're not saved because of your service, but if you say you love Jesus, you're going to have a heart for other people to know this same wonderful, unconditional love that you've come to experience. Honestly, all of us have better things to do with our time Tuesday night than go up and monitor a children's carnival. Can I be honest? Don't we? Come on, you can say yes. It's okay. You can be honest with me. Don't you have something better to do? If you don't, I got a lot of projects at my house. I can sick you on. Listen, we all got plenty to do. But going up the hill to serve the kids at Humboldt and their families is all about us wanting them to see Jesus in action. This is why we go with Christian and Brittany to the DR. That's it, man. I mean, I love the Caribbean, but it's awful hot down there. And we go down there to serve and to show people practically the love of Jesus, that we mean what we say we believe, and that Jesus really makes a difference in our lives. So I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just telling you, that's why we do this stuff. Not just to give you something to do, but to give you some way to walk out your faith. Romans 6 says it like this, better than I can. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you've been saved from death and you want to be tools in the hands of God, to be used for his good purposes. That's why you're still here. To be tools, and see, it's okay to be tools. It's to be tools in the hands of God, to be used for good purposes. In the realm that God has planted you to make a difference right where you're at. But it begins with an awareness. I'm here for a reason. There's something that God wants to do in me and through me. It's simultaneous, right? And as I serve, boy, he does something in me. Sometimes it's my flesh who wants to stay home, right? Or wants to do something else other than what he's asking me to do. So when we go down and pick up trash at Riverfront Park, because we want to make a difference, we want to make an impact in this community. Because God loves this city. I didn't hear any amens on that except for my bride. God loves this city. And if we are his followers, we will love this city too. Even to the point of making a practical difference to helping our city be proud of its image once again. And to say God has a destiny, not only for us individually, but for this city. Man, I was driving in this morning, I was praying destiny over our city. And we've got a history, a legacy, a heritage. But our best days are still ahead. I believe that. And that's not a politician stump speech. That is the truth. The city will find its destiny, its purpose, when believers stand up to tell the city how loved they are by God. And we demonstrate it with our actions. And I think people will say, you know, I don't know who those people are or what they believe, but that has my attention right there. And to me, that's a living testimony. That's showing, letting my life show that I believe what I say I believe. James 2 says, if people say that they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? The answer is no. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are. In our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good works. See, while you're here and you have life, that's the point, which he has already prepared for us to do. That's the awesome part. It says that long, long ago, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God had a purpose for your life. You know, I think I said this last week or the week before. The Bible doesn't say there'll be no tears in heaven. That was Eric Clapton, all right? The Bible says God will wipe away all our tears. And I think those tears will come when we get to heaven and realize what all we missed out on, what we could have done, what God wanted to do in us and through us. I just don't want to disappoint him. I want to say, whatever it is, God, let's get after it. The last T in my acronym, trust. Sorry, it's the S, right? I didn't do the S yet. I'll get in big trouble with all the OCD people. S, trust. I got 100 in spelling. I know how to do this. Suffer for what's doing right. See, there are times when it's going to be painful. If you're a Christ follower and you trust him, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Sometimes it really sucks. Really? I mean, it's just hard. It's hard. Come on, be honest with me today. Christ followers, have you ever had any problems? You ever had any troubles? Have you ever had trouble because of following Jesus? You ever had anybody give you a hard time because you're a Christ follower? When I lived in the Middle East, I'll tell you what, man, I was a minority. Not only my skin color, but my religion. And I wasn't very well received in that environment. I got in some places I just should not have been. Accidentally. And I got spat on and kind of wasn't sure I was going to get out of there. Sometimes you're going to suffer for your faith. And if you don't think that's Bible, go talk to the Christians in the Middle East today who are under the nose of ISIS, getting their heads sawn off. Talk to the Christians in China in prison for just owning a Bible. Talk to the believers in Africa, whole families and villages wiped out just because they believe in Jesus. And folks, I'm telling you, America's not exempt or immune. We are blessed for the freedom we have. And unfortunately, sometimes being blessed makes you forget how blessed you are, you know? Sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we have hardship, heartache. Philippians 1:29, you have been given not only the privilege of believing in Christ. This is not the American gospel. But also the privilege of suffering for him. It means risking relationship. I'm not just to be honest with you. This is really hard for me right now as a pastor. Because our culture is shifting and changing. And I love people. Man, I do. That is my gift. May not be the best teacher, but I love people. So if I can teach out of that love gift, then that'll work. But sometimes loving people is saying things to them that they may not want to hear. And really, it's all about your motivation. The scripture tells us to speak the truth in what? See, I think we may have forgot the last part sometimes. Because we're all about preach the truth, brother. Boom. Well, very good. In the meantime, you're causing people to not even be able to receive the message that Jesus loves them. So I'm not saying you separate those two, but I am saying this. Sometimes you speak the truth, and it won't be popular. Students in school, you know, middle school, high school, college, you guys have got a challenge on your hands that we never had in school. When you say things that are, you're the only one in your class that believes that stuff, right? It's tough. And yet, the scripture tells us, 1 Peter 3:14, if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid and don't worry. Can I just tell you that? Don't be afraid and don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid and don't worry. See, that's the word of God. Don't be afraid and don't worry. It's easy to say. It's another thing to live it out. But if we keep reminding each other, one of these days we'll get it. All right, now the last T. To believe in Jesus means I trust. Isn't that a lame way to end an acronym using the same word? Okay, I'm using it anyway. Trust what he says. It's whatever he tells you to do, do it. Remember the miracle of the wedding at Cana of Galilee when Jesus turned the water into wine? And yes, it was wine. It wasn't grape juice. Sorry about that. It was the good stuff, too. And Mary turned to the servants and said, what? Whatever he says, do it. People give Catholics a hard time because they worship Mary. I'm like, Mary was pretty cool. She knew exactly what to do. Whatever he says, do it. Church, I'm just telling you this. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Trusting relaxing, resting, to know that the work that he's begun in you and wants to do through you, he will finish it. It's not your work that's going to get it done. It's you yielding to that. Man, there's rest in that. There's joy in that. Jesus said, if you are weighed down, if you're beat up with this, you got the wrong yoke on you. You better cast that thing off because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Does that mean it's always going to be a picnic? No. Come on now. No one said that. Remember the suffering part? Need to go back up another letter? Yeah, it's tough at times, but there's also this grace that accompanies it. And there's joy. There's joy when you're fulfilling the work that God gave you. When you're living your purpose, man, it's like watching Travis go to the Marines. It's like, you know, I want to watch him just run in the way that God's created him to go. See him fly, see him soar. That's the Air Force, sorry. Psalm 33, verse 4. The word of the Lord always holds true, and everything he does is worthy of our trust. Everything. When I don't understand, he's still worthy of our trust. When I'm scared by the news headlines, what I see happening, he's worthy of our trust. Everybody's all freaked out by September, what's going to happen, the blood moons and all this stuff. I'm like, how about we focus on what Jesus is doing? How about that? Instead of standing around all knock-kneed about the way the world's going to hell in a handbasket, we'll do something about that. The world will believe when they see something real in you that's worth following. That's what it means to be a believer. Exhibiting, demonstrating what that trust really looks like. Hebrews 6:18, God can't break his word. He won't do it. So we who have trusted our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands. I love that. And don't let go. Don't let go. That's what I think we're here to do for each other. As we're serving, as we're trusting, as we're resting, as sometimes we're suffering, we keep spurring one another on, right? To love and good deeds. Don't let go. Don't let go. Too much at stake. You were created for greater things. Your best days are ahead of you. See, that's why I love to speak that over my city, because there's so many who have the other opinion. God loves St. Joseph, Missouri as much as he loves San Cristobal, Dominican Republic. But we love people who love San Cristobal because God's given them that vision and passion. Because Jesus loves that city, and Jesus loves this city, and Jesus loves whatever city you're from, wherever he's put you right now. You can either curse where you're at, or you can get on God's team. See, if you're cursing it, I'm going to start preaching now. If you're cursing it, then you're cooperating with the other team. See, if you see a word about a brother or a sister on Facebook, about a leader who said this or that, I'm telling you, you're playing for the wrong team if you start spreading that stuff. You're joining forces with the accuser of the brethren. Well, I heard he said, well, did you hear it firsthand? No, but I heard. Perfect. Perfect. See, that makes me really angry. I think it's righteous anger. Because I would defend you the same way. If someone said, well, I heard Steve Crawford said this. I said, well, did you sit down with Steve Crawford and ask him? Well, no, but I heard. It's like, then I don't want to hear it. Talk to the hand, right? Because I know Steve. He's not perfect, but if you got a beef with him, you sit with him. That's the Bible right there, okay? That's Bible talk. That's what believers do. That's what people who trust do. If you really are for this thing called the church, then you won't trash the bride of Jesus. You'll participate in seeing her rise up in health and strength. That's what you'll do. So watch your mouth. Because out of your mouth comes the true issues of the heart. You're just revealing your own heart by what you say. So, let's land this plane for today. I think we're gonna close by just asking God to do a work in us. You know, it's interesting. During first service and again in second, this really felt an urgency that I just wanted to get this word out there and give God an opportunity to do something in us. Because when we sang, let the ruins come to life, I kind of knew he was talking about us. You know? Because God isn't into bigger buildings. We want bigger buildings and more space to put people and stuff. But God isn't into buildings and stuff. He's into people. And we're the ruins he wants to bring to life. In some place, each of us has a spot. Maybe you're a believer and you walk with God for 150 years. Good for you. You still got places God's working on, right? Or maybe you've never crossed over from darkness into light. And today's the day. And today you've heard that God has an incredible destiny for you and that you were created specifically before you were born, that God wrote your story out. He's wanting you to live it. He wants you to live it in partnership with him. You're not alone. You've got a family. I hope the message has been clear today. But the first step on that journey is this ugly little R word that we don't like to use in America anymore. It's called repent. It means you quit going your own way and you choose to go his way. It's not just feeling sorry for something you've done. It's repenting. It's realizing, listen, Jesus, that's what took you to the cross. And that breaks my heart. To know how much you loved me and how I've insisted on my own way. See, that kind of, man, that crisis is a good thing. The scripture says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It leads us to go from this to this. So that when we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. We're not singing a lie. We need to reclaim that word repent because it doesn't mean something ugly and nasty. It means running to the Father who loves you like the prodigal son did. We repent, we believe, and we follow. Those are the steps. So today I want to pray for you. If you close your eyes and bow your head. Today was a super basic message that I don't apologize for. Because if I really want to see daring faith in me and in this church, it all goes back to the empty tomb. And there would not have been an empty tomb had there not been a cross. So today some of us are going to identify with the cross, with the sacrifice Jesus made, because we've never come to grips with the fact that the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to our own way. And the Lord laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. And that should break your heart. And that's a good break. Because the kindness of God is drawing you today. There's an invitation now to say, God, I've been going one way and now I'm going to choose to go another, but I need your help. And that's all repentance says is, I'm not going that way anymore. And Jesus, I'm sorry, but I need your help. Who wants to pray that prayer with me today? Jesus, I want to go a different way. I'm tired of going my own way and getting the same results. That's insanity. I want to do something different. Today, I'm choosing your way instead of mine. Who's with me today? Who wants to pray that prayer today? You've never said yes to Jesus. Thank you for that hand. Make sure I see you before you put it down because I want to know who I'm praying for. Anybody else? It's awesome that sons and daughters are coming home today. Prodigals are waking up and realizing that I've got a father who loves me. I've got a home. I don't even think I'm worthy to go back, but you're telling me God wants me. And so today I'm taking a risk, taking you up on that invitation. And I'm promising you this, you will not be disappointed. And to believers today, maybe we need to run to the empty tomb again. Be reminded that there's no one there. There ain't nobody home. He's risen. He's alive. Yes, he paid the price for our sin, but he demonstrated his power by rising on that third day. Heaven's stamp of approval on every one of those 7,000 promises we've been talking about. And today you need to live not a life that's good and religious, but full of the life that raised Jesus from the dead. Man, that's the kind of life I want to have. I don't want to just put in my time and check the box, Sunday morning attendance, checked off, even a few good works here and there are thrown in just for good measure. No, that's different than a life of passion that will truly get the attention of this world. I don't want to burn out for Jesus. I want to flame out. I don't want to rust out. I want to be rested in him so that I can be filled. I don't want to do it in my own efforts or work. I want God to work in me and through me. That's when it works. How many believers in the house say, I need some of that today too? Would you raise your hand? Thank you, God, that you got a bunch of children today who are anxious to partner with you. Holy Spirit, now have your way. Have your way in us, Lord. You know where each one of us are today. You know all about it. No one can hide from you. No one can pretend in your presence. Just ask God that today, Holy Spirit, you would reveal truth to us. And wherever we are on our journey, God, that you speak words of hope and encouragement. Where we need to repent, where we need to examine our lives and say, you know what? I got to choose my way or God's way. And I realize now that I don't really have a choice. I've got to choose God's way. Father, today, would you put your hand on my brothers and sisters? Hand of love, hand of direction, hand of correction where necessary. But God, all from the motivation of love. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing at Restoration. Thank you for what you're doing in this city. Thank you, God, that you so love the world that this is why Jesus came. And Lord, because you sent Jesus and you loved us that much, we will not refuse to cooperate and walk with you in the good plans you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Let's thank God for what he's doing today. It's good.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.